Hey everybody, welcome and thank you for joining me for my first podcast. My name is comedian Christina Elevation Wilson, aka Ella the Speller, the phenomenal storyteller. You tell it, I spell it. Hey! Listen, I am super excited that you have taken a few moments to join my podcast. This is my very first podcast. It is about 3:18 a.m. on Saturday, August 22nd. And I could not sleep. I kept saying to myself, you have got to do this, okay? Oh my God. And so finally, I just said, okay, forget it. I'm going to resist the ordinary and do the extraordinary. That's my business coach, Tina FJ. Anywho, again, thank you for joining me. I have so many things that I want to talk to you about or talk about. Hopefully you'll provide some feedback. But my very first subject that I wanted to start with is called Rock the Boat. Let me clear my throat. In fact, I'm going to take that back. That's going to be the theme of my podcast. And then I'll have some other titles underneath that. But for me, I have chosen this particular podcast, number one, because it was something God gave me like 2.5 years ago. Number two, I have found myself in situations over the years in which I have walked on eggshells. I can't do it anymore, and I will not N-O-T, okay? I will N-O-T do that, N-A-M-O-R-E. I'm not doing it, okay? So I wanted to do this podcast because I wanted to find out how many other egg steppers or eggshell people that we have. How many times have you had a situation where you wanted to talk to somebody about something and they kind of either gave you the side eye or the cold shoulder or dismissed you? And really all you wanted to do was kind of talk about a situation, approach the situation and be respectful about it to get the issue resolved. I am a person, I don't like to be uneasy with people. I don't like to be angry. I don't like conflict. I like to be at peace with people. So as long as it depends on me, I'm going to do my best to always do the right thing and try to make sure that I right whatever wrong that I may have or whatever offense that I may have against someone, right? And so I'm very passionate about my relationships. And let me tell you this, when people know your weaknesses, they will use your weaknesses against you. And I say that in the sense of, because I have such conviction and I'm so passionate about my relationships, and I really, really mean well when I go to someone to try to get something resolved. But here comes the problem for me. When you're going in the right heart, with the right heart, to do the right thing, to make amends, and then you get the pushback. Not just pushback, but pushback with an attitude. And before I matured to the point that I am now, oh no, I'm going to get you. It's a true story. That's how I was. Oh, I'm going to get you. And now I thank God that I have changed, that I've grown, and that if I go to somebody to try to make peace and they don't want to make peace with me, I just back off and give people their space. And I will apologize. And then I will ask God to help me to forgive them and actually help me to forgive myself, because I will wallow in it and I'll beat myself up because it felt like I failed. Okay. And that would make me feel some kind of way. And then of course I would harbor stuff and then I would carry it and then I would explode later, or either I would get depressed. Now, Rock the Boat came about as a result of having these type of situations repeatedly. And like I said, for me, you know, having the low self-esteem and not always feeling my own worth, I would always, for the most part, give in to other people. And then I felt crappier than I did prior to that. And then I realized, Christina, it's okay for you to speak up. And it's okay for you to speak out. You don't have to be a doormat. And some people are manipulative in that way, that they will make you feel that way. But you have to understand this. No one can make you feel that way if you don't give them the power to do so. Did you hear what I said? No one can make you feel that way if you don't give them the power to do so. And that is what I had to learn. As Auntie Maxine says, she's reclaiming her time. I'm reclaiming my power. You don't get to talk to me in any kind of way that you want to. No, ma'am, not today. You hear me? Not today. Okay. But in all seriousness, though, it was really an issue with me. And see, when you don't know your self-worth, you give people power over you. And, you know, being an emotional person, because like I said, for me, I really believe in friendships and relationships and I value them. But when you don't know who you are, people will do what they want to do and say what they want to say. And they dare you to say anything back to them or about it. Where you going? Hey, and good morning. This is your girl, Christina Elevation Wilson, a.k.a. comedian, Ella the Speller, phenomenal storyteller. You tell it, I spell it. And if I can cash in on it, I'm going to sell it. Hey, thank you so much for joining me and welcome to my very first podcast. I am excited and delighted that you've decided to join me this morning. Oh my God. You don't have any idea what time it is. Honey, the time is about, 2:52? What is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? Ain't nothing wrong with me, honey. I'm just up. I'm just enjoying myself. You know, because sometimes you got to just really speak over yourself and encourage yourself, you know, in the Lord, L-O-R-D-T. Mm. But anyway, look, I just wanted to come on here for a few minutes just to try this thing out and see what I could get. You know, a lot of times I'll wake up in the middle of the night and God just be giving me ideas and giving me jokes and stuff. Really, I just be in this bed cracking myself up. My neighbor's probably wondering, what is she doing over there? Because the bed be rocking. I be beating my legs and, you know, just slapping my thighs like that. They probably say, what is she doing over there? At this like a little circle. Honey, I learned how to have a good time by my M-Y-S-E-L-F. That's how I do it. I don't know about you. I don't mind being by my M-Y-S-E-L-F. You know what I'm saying? First, I give honor to God and I thank him for this podcast. Secondly, I thank him for this pretty voice. You know, I got a pretty voice, you know. My girlfriend used to sit back in the 1900s. She said, you like to talk, you think you got a pretty voice? I got a pretty voice, you know. So I figured I got a pretty voice and a big mouth. I just wear to use it. Don't you think so? Well, look at here. You know, I was thinking about some things while being quarantined. And I don't know about you, how you guys feel about this whole quarantine thing. At first, I was kind of like, oh, my God, like, I can't do this. And then after a while, I said, you know, you're crazy. You better chill and be happy and make yourself content. And guess what? I have done just THAT. I have done just THAT. Honey, let me tell you, I'm just enjoying myself at my home right now, just being by myself. I ain't got no distraction. Granddaddy been gone for about 4 months now. I'm just enjoying my S-E-L-F, okay? But being on quarantine, it has its pros and cons for me. Because one thing about me, I don't know if y'all know it. Some of y'all can't see me. But I'm a piece of meat, as my grandma said. Use a piece of meat, you know. So I ain't that big. I'm like 100 pounds plus 100 plus 20. Okay, plus 10 more. Okay, now and worry about yourself, okay? Listen, so while being quarantined, I have cooked more food in 6 months than I have cooked in 6 years. This is a true story. 6 months, I've been eating my buns OFF. Do you hear me? Now, I'm serious. Now, when I first got on quarantine, this is a true story. I gained 14, P-H-O-T-E-N, 14 pounds, Chad. I got fried fish, fried chicken, fried shrimp. I ain't supposed to have none of that fried food. I just went ballistic. I was eating and singing and smiling and child, I got on that scale and that scale wasn't singing and smiling. It was saying to myself, you need to do something about this here. I know one time I went to the doctor. I was having a problem with my back. And I got in the doctor's office and the doctor told me when I got in the office, she said, I can tell you what the problem is right now. You need to do something about your weight. Okay, I was offended by that thing. Because my thing is, I wanted about my back. She's going to tell me. She's judging me. I don't like to be judged. She gonna judge me and tell me, you need to do something about your weight. I said, okay. She said, come back and see me in 2 weeks. I want to see that you've done something about your weight. I said, okay, you old heifer. I said, okay. So when I left the doctor's office, I got mad. I went on around to the Duck Dynasty, my little donut place, the Duck Donuts. Stopped on by the Pizza Hut, got me a pizza. Stopped by the Hibachi Grill and got me some grilled shrimp with some rice and what you call it, the hibachi. Mm-hmm. Went on by Ben and Jerry's and got me a pint of ice cream. I said, okay, I'm going to fix her. So sure enough, I went on back to the doctor's office 2 weeks later. She said, Miss Wilson, it's good to see you. I said, mm-hmm. She stepped on the scale. She looked at me like she was surprised. She said, Miss Wilson, when you came in the doctor's office 2 weeks ago, you was 222 pounds. Now you're 242 pounds. She said, I thought we discussed you doing something about your weight. I said, I looked at her. And I said, brr, duh. I don't understand what part you don't understand. 222 and 242, that's 20 pounds. I said, I did something about my weight. I said, trick or treat, how you like them apples? I'm a trip, ain't I? Oh, but she told me to do something about my weight, so I did. It was kind of hard for me to lose the pounds. I figured it was easy to gain the pounds. Ain't it hard when you put them pounds on? And no, it ain't hard. It's hard to take them off. You ever went to the store and bought some stuff? Well, actually, you ever went to the store to try on some stuff? You ain't really had the money to get it? I ain't talking about stealing. I don't steal no more. I used to do it back in the 1900s. I don't steal no more. I used to go in the store and put on clothes. Knowing the clothes was too small, then I couldn't get out of them. Right? So I just wore the clothes home. Then I work on my exercise, diet, and things like that. You got to be creative, you know, when your funds are low, you know. But you have to go in the store and try on clothes size too small. And then I wouldn't be able to get out the clothes. So I had to go on home in the clothes. And the people don't want to cut the clothes because they're going to lose the money. So this well, they let me go on and have the clothes. Now, it wasn't my fault that I couldn't get out of them. So I didn't feel like I had to pay for it. I'm just saying. That's just how I saw it. I'm just saying. And why is it your friends, why do people don't tell their friends the truth about when they see them coming out with an outfit that look like a hot mess? See, I'm the friend, I believe in being a friend to tell the truth. I had a friend one time, she was kind of a thickums. You know, she had a rump shaker that could reach from South Africa to North Africa. Mm-hmm. She was packed like that in the back. But she loved to wear little tight mini dresses. Then she had these supersized McDonald's thighs. I said, my God. And I said to myself, I said, would you look at this right here? And she would ask me a stupid question. And she knows she's going to get a stupid answer. She said, how do you think I look? I said, a hot mess. Then she would get mad. Man, somebody getting mad you asked me a question. So I'm telling you. I don't understand people. People said something. People said something else. But yeah, she would get upset with me. And I said, you know, you got too much to be putting all that. You can't handle that. That little skirt just screaming, let me out. But anyway, I just get tickled. You know, I like to watch people. WATC, I like to watch people. You ever watch people? Chad, you just sit back. Me and my girlfriend, this true story. We used to go to the club back in the day and park right in front of the club, building Noah, and watch the people go in, you know, and watch the people as they prepared to get out of the car and, you know, had that last minute conversation on the phone and all this kind of thing. We used to get crack outside just watching people fixing themselves up or doing whatever. They had no idea we was watching them. That was our entertainment. That's how bored we was at the time, Chad. We was something. But honey, we used to go to the club. But let me tell you something. The club didn't start until we got there. And when we left, it was over. That's how we rocked the boat. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's who we was, honey. I was on the point tip. She was all the time fife. Okay, maybe you don't understand. But I'm telling you, when I tell you we turned things out, we did. We did. And that was my friend, and we would always talk about losing weight, but we would always go to the buffet, and then we'd leave the buffet and go to the dressing room and try on things and cry because both our bellies was too big to zip the pants. But ain't that something, Chad? Oh, Fife. Uh-huh. We had some good old time back in the day. Speaking of back in the day, I remember this was about 1981, 82. About 11 or 12. I'm dating myself. About 11 or 12. And my grandma bought me this little white shoe. You know, remember the Super Dollar store? Y'all remember that? That was a store called Super Dollar, honey. And Super Dollar, you know, it was a cheap store, but Super Dollar had was on the come up. Because they just had stuff you can go in there and coordinate yourself. Ain't nobody never know you didn't go to Sears and Roebuck, okay? And I remember was getting near Labor Day. This is a true story now. Getting near Labor Day. And after, in fact, it was after Labor Day. And Grandma said, now, Gail, she said this true story. She said, Gail, it's coming time for you to put them shoes up. Because the shoes was white, you know, W-H-I-T. The shoes was white. And Grandma says, time for you. It's almost coming time for you to put them shoes up now. I said, yes, ma'am. And Grandma had, I always had a little bag I stuck my stuff in. I had a little bag I stuck them shoes in. So one day I left home. I don't know. I had on some black steel-toed shoes or something like that. But it didn't go good with my outfit. Because the outfit was like light skin, you know. I said, no, I'm going to put my white shoes in the bag. Honey, I got on that school bus and I put them white shoes on. Walked all around that schoolyard. And honey, come 3:30 when we got out of school or whatever time it was. And the bus pulled up at Sugar Hill Road at my grandma's house. Everybody, you know, in the country, we sit on the poach, P-O-A-C, on the poach. Honey, and I didn't remember that I forgot to change my S-H-O-E. I forgot to change my shoes. And Grandma was sitting right there on that front porch. When my foot came off that bus 37. When I stepped off bus 37, I realized, God doggone, I didn't change my shoe. Come on in here, young lady. Come on in here. Child, my grandma took them white shoes. I ain't seen no white shoes. That thing hurt me. It really hurted me. It really hurted my heart. But I said, okay, well, I ain't really had nothing for no pair of white shoes since. It was 1979, 70-10, something like that. I ain't had nothing for no white shoes since then. And speaking of the school bus, child, back in about 1900, that's right about the same time. A little bit early, I believe. Okay, so we had the little store called Little B. Actually called Lil B, L-I-L-B. Lil B was a little convenience store that you had any snack in there that you like, you'll get it from Lil B. But see, Lil B also had penny candy. And I looked at the penny candy, and the penny candy looked at me. And I said, well, the penny candy, okay, we can sell for a penny. But why would I sell it for a penny when I could sell it for 5 cents? Like you said, a penny candy for the penny. But like the caramel and the chicle stick, and you get to sell them for 5 cents. You know, that's crazy. No. So, honey, I remember this is a true story. I brought, I don't know how much, I probably had about $2. So that was 200 pieces of candy. Well, probably about 195 pieces, because you know you had the taxes at the time. I got that candy, honey. I went in my room, I counted that candy again. I said, okay, I got the candy in the brown bag. And I got another paper brown bag, because I had to have a brown bag for my money. Honey, I got up on that playground. When I tell you, I was an entrepreneur, all I knew how to be was that penny candy for five. Ooh, chat. All the boys came to get my milkshake on that playground. I was selling them candies, honey. I was so excited about myself. But one day, child, I got off that school bus. And I realized I had left my business on the bus. Oh, my God. Lord, I couldn't wait for bus 37 to come out that next day, because I had to find out if my pennies were still on the bus. I think I got turned in by the bus driver, because I was selling candy. I was trying to start my business. You know what I'm saying? I went to the principal's office and got in trouble. He told me to stop selling candy. You know me being a rebellious person. I wouldn't think about that principal, Chad. I put them little pennies back in the little book bag. I started hustling again. That's how you had to do it. Yeah. I was about eight. That's about third or fourth grade. I was selling penny candy, honey. To this day, I like to sell stuff to me. I can sell an Eskimo to your house. They don't even know. I can sell an Eskimo to your house. I don't know where I'm going with that one. I had someone want to talk about the Eskimos, but I'm going to leave that one alone. But come back to that. Remind me to come back to that a little bit later, huh? I guess the people next door that started banging on the wall, they hear me talking at 2:45 in the morning. Anyway, look. So, what was I getting ready to tell y'all? Okay, it's 13 minutes now. I ain't got too much more time. But I was talking to y'all about being quarantined. Now, am I the only one that like I said, I was telling you, I'll be cooking. It's cooking. I done created so many recipes, and I've eaten so good. But now I'm back to eating healthier. I'm back to eating healthier. And I done messed around and got to be one of them little easy bake ovens. That little, what you call the air fryer thing. Child, the air fryer thing is the best thing since sliced bread. And who would have known my oven? The oven that went out again. Whoever have a stove to go out like 2 times in 3 years? That don't make no sense. I guess the Lord trying to tell me to stop eating and cooking so much. But that little easy bake air fryer, honey, when I tell you that bad boy is the truth, I've been just eating so much. But do y'all ever just, you know, you go to bed, I don't know, say 10, 11, 12 o'clock, and then you wake up just, I mean, wide awake, about 3:30, 4 o'clock. Sometimes midnight, 1 o'clock, and you go upstairs and get some water. And next thing you know, you don't open the refrigerator, and now you done made a sandwich. Now, you really just wanted to get the water. Now, you done got a whole sandwich, a bowl of chips coming back downstairs. You say, okay, let me take that on back. Then you're going to fix your bowl of watermelon. Like, is anybody else doing that other than me? I mean, I'm telling you. I'm really struggling right now. Speaking of struggling, I was on my bicycle riding, getting ready to take a long ride. I done got my little helmet and everything. Took the bicycle out of the car. Went to get on the bicycle. Did good for a minute. I said, let me just go in this direction. How about I hiked my leg over the seat and fell? And honey, it was a tsunami. When I tell you I hit that ground, but see, don't tell you, Grandma said, you always got to keep a little weight on. Keep a little weight on you. When I hit that ground, the earth shaked. Boom. But I thank God for the fat I had on my side, honey. Because if it had not been for the fat on my side, what would it be? See, some people say if it had not been for the Lord on this side, I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the fat on my side, I don't know where I would be. The fat saved me. It really saved me. But I had to go get a massage because when I tell you, I started having some pain. I said, oh, Lord. So I went to get a massage. That little man was on my back, riding me like a monkey. But when he finished, I'm telling you, I felt so kind of good. I felt good. Yeah, I'm going to treat myself. Once a pay period, I'm going to get a massage. Okay, once a month. Once a pay period, that's too much to get paid 2 times. That was a good massage, I'm going to tell you. It's worth doing bi-weekly, though. I'm going to have to put that in my budget. Okay. Look, I ain't got nothing else to talk about right now. I got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about later, but I ain't got time to talk about it right now. So I'm going to get ready to get on off of here. If you all have any subjects that y'all want to talk about, please send them to me. Talk to me. Come and talk to me. I really want to meet you back. I really want to know your name. You ever just start talking and in the song, you know, you'll say certain words and then you just start singing songs. I don't know if anybody else do that, but I know that I have a habit of doing that. Sometimes I just wonder if something's wrong with me. Because sometimes I start talking and I can't stop talking. Come and talk to me. I really want to see you. Can I talk to you? Okay. Anyway, did I just sing that song? Well, I think it's time for me to take a nap or either go upstairs and get a banana split. I remember back at home at the Big T. Oh, if you could get a banana split. You were special. I think I'm going to get ready to get up and go and see if I can find me a banana split somewhere. I've been craving a pastry like a, you know, I like stuff with cream in the middle, like the, what do you call it? The Bavarian cream pie with the little yellow stuff in the middle with the chocolate. But, oh, Lord have mercy. I just want to make love to that honey bun. You know you got a problem when you want to make, when you're expressing food, you're talking about making love to the food. If you look at me right now with these extra hips, yeah, the food done made love to me a couple of times, I'm telling you. But yeah, I've been craving for like 2 weeks. I want some, either like some peach cobbler or something with a crust on it, like a crust. Now, not my feet, because sometimes my feet just be so crusty. I don't know why the feet get hard like that, but great day. But I want something with a soft, like a cheesecake. Oh, yes. You hear I said, oh, yes. Something is wrong with me. W-R-O-N-G. But I enjoy eating. I really enjoy eating. But you ever have people come over to your house? I remember one time, this is a true story. I did a potluck. I used to have these things called Soul Food Sunday. And it was potluck, you know. And, you know, when you invite people to the potluck, you want to have the people at least bring enough to share with 2 to 3 people. How come the lady came to the potluck with 1 Coke and 5 people? A bottle of Coke. This is a true story. And a half a bottle of, what you call that thing? A half a bottle of barbecue sauce that was open. But she left with 3 plates. I said, listen here, half a, you won't ever come back here again. Why people do that? You can't invite anybody over to your house. And then, you know, the Bible says, you know, be quick to listen and slow to eat. You know, because everybody's hands ain't clean. You know, because it goes to try to be the hands clean. You know, be quick to listen and slow to eat. You're going to be eating everybody's food. You know how people live. One time, this is a true story. One time I went to this lady. She was bragging about her place and this place and she this and her furniture. Child, I stepped up in there. I said, would you look at here? Would you look at this right here? See, I don't like to brag about stuff like that. I was shocked at S-H-O-C-K-E-D-E-D. I was shocked at it. E-D, okay. I don't know why people do like that, though. But yeah, I watch people. People are something else. I'm the kind of person, too. You know, I told y'all I got a big mouth, so I got to use it. I can't just stand by and see things happen that I know ain't right and not say nothing about it. See, I ain't no coward. I ain't no coward. I saw a lady one time do something I thought was just very inappropriate. I said, man, you can't do that. Okay, so what it was I was at Walmart, and the lady had a basket. No, she had a cart. What do you call it? The little driving cart with the little wheels on it like that. And was it that? No, it wasn't that, because I wouldn't have food with that person. It was a regular cart. Now, she was 8 seconds away from pushing a cart from a place where she could push the cart in. She going to push the cart right there in the handicapped spot. Now, you know, my mama got a handicap. And so I think about people like that. Now, how is she going to push the bags? I said, no, ma'am. I'll do whatever. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. It don't go right there. And you know what the lady did? She took the bag. I can't believe the boldness that I had, but that God gave me that boldness. He didn't tell me to do that. But you know, my grandpa told me this when I was a young girl. Grandma said, young lady, she said, your mouth gonna be the cause of your death. I said to myself under my breath, shut up. This is a true story. Now, ain't nobody gonna kill me. This is a true story. And I didn't get what grandma meant when she said my mouth was going to be the cause of my death until I was about 45 years old. And I finally understood it. She didn't mean it literally. It could be applied as that, but your mouth is going to be the cause of your death. So I'm going to leave y'all with this. We got to be careful of the things we say and how we say it, because our mouth could be cursing us and blocking us from our blessings. Oh, I hope you got that. That, when that thing hit me, I don't know where I was when it hit me. But, and I think something in my life happened and I experienced something where it made me really realize that because I was smart mouthed. And I used to cuss like a sailor. Before I got saved, child, I would cuss people out. I would cuss people out of the job, walk off the job, tell them, thank you. True story. I hate to admit it, but it's true. Yeah, and then after I got saved, I mean, I don't cuss as much, but I still will let people know what I think about them, you know. But I pray, ask God forgive, because I don't want to do it. I didn't used to repent. I used to go on with it, and I would bomb them out. I didn't know I had that much energy or that much breath in my body, but now I say, okay, if I cuss them out now, I ask for repentance, I ask for forgiveness, because you can't just keep cussing people and think it's okay. God don't like that. That's ugly. Hey, grandma said, that's ugly. I thank God for my grandma. My grandma taught me how to make biscuits when I was 9 years old. I was in that kitchen. Child, you know, back in the day, you improvise. You compromise. And we used to take that can of Jack Mackerels. And after the Jack Mackerels was finished, we used to cut that old, take that paper off that old cane. See, yeah, I am off the cane. And then we would take that and wash it off. And honey, we would roll them biscuits. Yeah, we'd roll that flour out there and turn that can over and cut them biscuits. And let me tell you something. Lord, them was the best way. We used to have little Jack Mackerel with biscuit and fed back meat. Yeah, we was eating back in the country with fried apples. Oh, my God. Lord, have mercy. Grandma, I miss you. Grandma was 97 when she left here.
back in 2012. God rest her soul. Grandma was a piece of work now. Grandma was a piece of work, Chad. I get it honest. Okay, well, listen, on that note now, I done got hungry. I'm going to go upstairs and get me a glass of water. Come back down with 12 pieces of wings. Hey, this one right here, love herself a wing, honey. I should be a chicken in my former life. I know it was. I just love myself a little wing. And I like to fix them all different kind of ways. But my favorite way, have you ever made your wings in a stovetop on the pot? A pot, did I say that right? In the big black pot on the stove, honey. And people would think you got to have grease in it. No. You put a little water in and you like you're going to ball them on, honey. Put the seasonings on there, honey. And then put a little piece of butter. Just a little piece because you don't want to eat too fat because the chicken is fat. And you put them in there and you let them just go on and cook down. And eventually, you're going to put your little honey mustard and your barbecue sauce. Mix them up like the two. Put a little garlic on there at the very end because you know the garlic going to... This podcast should be called Food Porn. Because I talk about food like I'm talking about my ex-husband. I'm not going to say ex-husband because I got to talk positive. My husband going to come this year. I feel like he's coming. He's from Africa. He don't know it yet. But you put the wings in the pot like that. You ain't got to put no, maybe just a little bit of olive oil. A little bit. I can't stand to see people just drop food in the grease. It do something to my stomach. I just said that. You eat the food with dropped all down in the grease like that. That ain't healthy. But if you do them on the top of the stove, put the little olive oil on them, let them cook on down, get the little brown, put that honey mustard in there. And this is honey mustard salad dressing, honey. And then that barbecue sauce and mix them up. And then right behind the end, you just drip that little garlic in there, minced garlic, okay? When I tell you something, Chad, Lord have mercy. I will eat about 416 of them before... I eat about 432 before I stop. I just enjoy it. I don't know what it is. And it's something when you put the whole wing, you might just pull it out and just take all the meat up the whole bone at one time. That's a skill. I don't think anybody could do that. Yeah, girl. I remember I used to go to this little buffet years ago when I first moved to Northern Virginia. Okay, but I told y'all I don't steal, but I have to admit, I do remember taking... Okay, I shouldn't share this on the podcast. I might get convicted. I mean, I might get arrested for sharing this. I ain't going to share it. Do it for the vine. I ain't going to do it. Okay, so I used to go to the buffet back in the day and take the little plastic bags. Oh, God. And I would steal the food. But you see what God did to you? You see what he did? You see what he did? Funny, not funny. Okay. Well, my time has come to an end now. I just get so tickled at myself. God, I thank you for this gift of laughter. I thank you for giving me a lighthearted spirit. I thank you for allowing me to just be able to laugh at myself because there were times where I would cry myself to sleep. I would wake up and I would still be crying. But I thank you, God, that you have given me the gift of laughter. I thank you that you've given me such a snapback type of personality that no matter what comes my way, I might fall down, but I promise you I don't stay down. So I say to each person who's listening to this podcast, God, that they have been encouraged by my humor, that they've come along for a fantastic voyage, and that they will be looking forward to more to come. So God, I thank you. I give you honor and praise. And I thank you that my podcast is going to grow and that you're going to send people my way that I'll be able to interview with and grow with and that I'm going to blow up like, oh, yeah. I just think that you're amazing, God. And I thank you for everything that you've provided for me. God, I don't have everything that I want, but I certainly have everything I need. And if it means me having a roof over my head and a soft heart and a spirit of laughter, God, I'm happy with that. But I do want my husband now, God. I would touch and agree and lay hands on him all night. In Jesus' name, amen.